Welcome to Murder with the Misses. I'm Darren.
And I'm Amy. And today we're going to do another quick one because it's just an update one on Scott Peterson, which is another very well-known case that has had some recent activity. So we wanted to touch base on it and give our opinion. So on December 23rd, 2002, Lacey Peterson, who was 8 months pregnant with her son, Connor, spoke with her mom on the phone. This would be the last time that anyone talked to her outside of the house. The next morning, Christmas Eve, at around 10:18 a.m., a neighbor finds the couple's dog unattended and roaming the neighborhood with its leash attached. The neighbor brought the dog back to the Peterson's yard and left. Now, Scott was allegedly fishing in the San Francisco Bay about 90 miles from their home in Modesto, California at this time. But by 6 p.m., when Lacey's family couldn't get a hold of her, they called 911 to report her missing, and the search began. Now, this got national attention as she was pregnant and seems to have disappeared out of thin air. In January of 2003, not long after, Amber Frey is a woman who goes public at a news conference stating that her and Scott had started dating in November of 2002, and she didn't know that he was married. He told her he was a widow and would go on about how hard it was going to be to spend his first Christmas without his wife. He even called and talked to her on the phone during one of the candlelight vigils for Lacey and Connor, and told her it was noisy because he was in Paris at the time. He never admitted to her that he did anything to Lacey, even though the police recorded their calls and used her to try to get a confession out of him. In April of 2003, a decomposing fetus washes up on shore, and the next day, a woman's decomposing body washes up in another location. Her head and parts of her arms and legs were missing, but they were able to confirm that this was Lacey and Connor. The same day, police arrested Scott. When they found him, he had dyed his hair and beard blonde. He had multiple IDs on him along with his brothers and around $15,000 in cash. He had multiple cell phones, and it was reported that he was planning to flee to Mexico. He had a survivalist type kit, so it looked like he was planning on staying off-grid. There was lots of speculation that Scott did this, but there was also a lot of other avenues that the investigation took. There were reports that Lacey was seen walking the dog that morning wearing black pants. Now, this is something that Scott had reported to the police and on TV, saying that she was wearing these black pants that morning when he left. But when Lacey's body was found, she was actually wearing khaki-colored pants, which is what Lacey's sister says she was wearing the night before.
I mean, you know, people change clothes.
People do change clothes, but it does look suspicious that he says that she was wearing these clothes when he left at 9:30, which means that's 48 minutes before the dog was found. So she could have changed clothes and then went for her walk because it doesn't take long to do that. But at the same time, it's not necessarily highly likely that she changed clothes. So it did throw a little doubt in there. And there were reports that a neighboring house was robbed that morning, with the neighbor saying that they saw people carrying a large safe out of the house, and they knew the homeowners were out of town for Christmas. The police did find the suspects for the house robbery and even gave them a lie detector test, which they did pass, claiming that they did rob the house, but they did not do anything to Lacey.
Okay, two things.
Okay.
One, if Home Alone is taught anybody anything, is that, you know, if you see somebody carrying a safe out of a house at Christmas time, you know, see something, say something.
There may be some child that was left home alone.
Well, I mean, just in general, you know, if you see some suspicious activity, say something.
Right.
All right. That's true. Another thing is, you know, lie detector tests, you know, it's not permitted in court because they're not legit.
They're not. They are not foolproof for sure. And I will never take a lie detector test. I'm not doing it.
No.
There was also a van that was on fire about a mile from the Petersons' home. And they did find a bloody mattress in the back that they did test, but it was years later. And they only got so much from the DNA testing back then, so they were unable to link the blood to being Lacey or Connors. But let's get back to Scotty. He did plead not guilty, of course, but the jury found him guilty of both murders. And on March 16th of 2005, he was sentenced to death by lethal injection.
But in August of 2020, the California Supreme Court overturned the death penalty sentence and resentenced him to life without parole in 2021.
That's right. Yeah, it did. But the investigation turned up a lot of questionable stuff.
Okay, so I'll play devil's advocate. It doesn't mean that I think that he's innocent. I'll just play devil's advocate here.
Okay, yeah. Let's have another side.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, he was having an affair.
That doesn't mean that he, you know, makes him a murderer. He's just an asshole.
That's true. Okay, don't get me started on his lack of remorse or lack of care to look for his missing wife, because he was not very participating when it came to the vigils or the search or anything like that.
I mean, everyone grieves differently. You know, it's hard to judge someone on that alone.
That is true. That is true. Everybody handles things in their own way. So he had flyers on his boat that had Lacey's hair on them, and we know she did not like getting in that boat.
Okay, so, I mean, how many times have you used my fishing flyers for stuff inside the house, and then I've had to go find them before I go fishing? I mean, it's not impossible to think that, you know, Lacey might have used them for something.
Your fishing stuff, your hammers, your drills.
Everything. I mean, you know... You know, they're never in the right place.
Hey. Okay, here's another one. So there were missing concrete anchors that he had recently made. They reported that at Scott's warehouse of the fertilizer business that he worked at, there was concrete dust on the floor. But there were five distinctive places that were not quite as dusty as the surrounding area, meaning that there had to be five things placed here when that dust settled. And the sizes of these five places match the size of a boat anchor that they found in Scott's boat. It was a homemade one. He used a gallon-sized pitcher as a mold to make round anchors, and then he made a rebar loop at the top so you could tie onto them. So if he made five and only one was found on the boat, where are the other four?
I know this looks bad, but, you know, it also doesn't mean that he used these anchors to hold down the body. I mean, from any outside perspective, that's sketchy. Oh. But it is enough. It is enough to say 100% that this is a case winning. It's a case winning development. But I don't think so.
No, it's absolutely not. I mean, it looks sketchy because of all the stuff adding up together. But if you take it out individually, it doesn't really mean this is what happened.
No, exactly. Because, I mean, he could have used those anchors and, you know, they might have got caught on something, so he cut it.
That happens a lot.
I mean, you know, how many anchors did we buy for our Sea-Doo and we had to lose it because it was just caught up too deep or whatever.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because we're in lakes, so there's a lot of debris and stuff. And I'm sure oceans have a lot down there,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you. Okay. So how about the whole hair dyeing, running away to Mexico thing?
I have never been bashed in the papers and accused of murder like he was at this time. So maybe he was just trying to get away from it all and maybe change his appearance where people, you know, would kind of
leave him alone.
You know, and just so they didn't see him. It's like, oh, there he is.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Try to
murder!
Get an interview. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense. The most interesting thing to me at the trial was an investigator described multiple calls that Scott made that Christmas Eve morning. Now, one was to his voicemail, because back then your voicemail was like a separate phone number. And he called that at 10:08, and it bounced off of a Modesto tower. So that indicates that Scott was actually still at home. If he had actually left his house at 9:30, he would have been further away from there by then. And the neighbor found the dog roaming the streets at 10:18 a.m. So again, back in the day, things weren't as up to par technology-wise. But he could have, like, I guess he could have stopped at a store or done anything that wouldn't have let him get as far away from home as you would think if he left and went straight to his fishing spot.
Yeah. Plus, you know, if there were so many witnesses that saw Lacey, you know, saw the dog itself by itself, saw the robbery, and it sounds like the streets were active. So wouldn't someone have been, you know, wouldn't have someone seen Scott leave if he hadn't really left at 9:30?
Well, that would make sense because obviously there were people out and about. I don't know why they were, but Christmas in California is different than Christmas in Oklahoma. But if there was that many people out to see all these things going on, there were several people who saw Lacey in the neighborhood that morning, they say. So, yeah, it sounds like there was a lot of people out. And if he wouldn't have left at 9:30, I'm sure somebody would have been like, oh, no, I totally saw Scott leave about noon or, you know, somebody, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the uncomfortable topic. So there was also talk about how Connor was separated from Lacey's body. Doctors stated that it didn't appear that she had given birth before she died. So they're saying that the baby was expelled after she passed away and was already in the water. Prosecutors had a forensic pathologist say that the fetus was expelled from her body after her death. But defense attorneys say that the baby was born alive and murdered later to show that Scott couldn't have been the killer. There's a debate over whether the tape that was around the baby's neck was wrapped around it as a result of him moving around in the water, or if, as some others have reported, that the tape was tied around his neck, which obviously could not happen in the water. So there's a lot of room for speculation since there's no real smoking gun, but the majority consensus since this happened has been that Scott's totally guilty.
Yeah, I don't think he did anything to help his case at all.
No, everything looks sketchy.
Yeah.
I mean, and I can understand wanting to get away from prying eyes, get away from the media, because this had a lot of coverage.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's the whole thing. I mean, he looked, from get-go, I mean, it's basically points, everything points at him.
Yeah, it looks like another OJ situation.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, it's not that I don't think that he's innocent, but, I mean, I think they could have dug a little deeper, too.
They needed a little more concrete.
Yeah,
I can see that.
They needed more solid evidence.
In my book, he's guilty.
Yeah.
But who am I? Now, the reason that we're talking about this today is because the Los Angeles Innocence Project has taken on Scott's case. And mostly what is being reported is one of the main points they're looking at is the bloodstained mattress in the back of that burned van. The van was found, some people say the same day, some say the day after Lacey disappeared, but it was close to the Petersons' home. And the lawyers are saying that the DNA testing that was done on the very small portion of the mattress was insufficient. So the LA Innocence Project believes that now the DNA testing is more advanced and it could actually give them better results.
I mean, technology changes every day, so I mean, maybe they'll come up with something. You know, that either helps his case or maybe they find, you know, maybe they may find something that proves that he's guilty. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, because it could be anything. He could be really, yeah, do this, gung-ho, and then they could bring it back and be like, oh, yeah. Well, that was bad, but let's look into this. And it's something that really, like, drives the point home.
Yeah, and at the end of it, they could be like, hey, you know, you're fucked.
Yeah, sorry about
you. You know what I mean?
We came to help, but
yeah. I mean, he definitely did not help himself at all in this whole investigation.
Right.
But again, like I said, they should have done more to get solid evidence too. I mean,
well, it was very, I'd like to say it was a thorough investigation and almost just did, but I don't think it was because there were a lot of reports we saw where they didn't even look into the van at first. Wasn't there two?
Yeah, there's two vans. They looked at one and they was like, the other one.
The fire investigator or fire marshal or something was saying that the other van wasn't even looked at. And it was in the same area.
And it was the one with the bloody mattress.
No, they looked at the bloody mattress because they ran DNA testing on it. a couple of years after Lacey went missing.
No, because that's the whole reason why the Innocence Project's coming in, I thought.
Well, they're coming in because they're saying DNA testing is now better. So they could get different results.
Oh, okay. I thought it was because the van never really got fully investigated. But, I mean, on top of that,
the other van didn't get investigated at all.
But even on top of that, I mean, they never really went and talked to any of the people that witnessed her walking down the street.
So I've seen some reports on that that say they were just unable to verify.
Well, one lady said that she knew it was her because she has the same doctor as her. So she knew that it was Lacey.
That's true.
And everything. So she knew that was, in fact, her.
Right.
Because she sees her all the time at the same doctor's office.
Right. You live
and talks
in the same
to her,
place.
I guess. I mean,
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Women's Hope. But there's also a bunch of sightings of Lacey in the outlying areas because of the way she walked. Some people saw her at a store with the dog. Yeah. But then there's also a bunch of people who say that there's another pregnant woman that looks similar to Lacey and does walk her dog in the same area. So then the question's raised as to, was it Lacey or was it the other woman?
I think they just should have looked into it a little bit better. That way they could have just put the nail in the coffin for this guy and you know what I mean, and just really stuck it to him.
Well, there's also a bunch of flaws there because a lot of people are saying that, okay, if you see her walking every day, then how do you distinguish which day? Like, would it stick out in your brain? Or would you be like, well, I had to have seen her this morning because I see her every morning.
Is it just every day, any day that ends in day?
Right. Because, I mean, if somebody tells me something, I'm like, oh, yeah, that happened last week. And you'll tell me, no, that was 2 months ago.
Yeah, true.
But that's me. I got a bad memory. But we're just going to have to see how this one goes because it could go either way. It's one of those cases that was so high profile back in the day. And so it's kind of interesting to get a new perspective on it and do some new things and kind of see if he's going to stay there or if they let him out.
And we'll update it as we go too and everything as new evidence or anything like that kind of surfaces and everything. Or if he actually gets if he gets convicted or.
Like read.
Yeah. Anything? Like if he gets resentenced or anything like that, like if they find new things or if they just say, it is what it is.
I wonder if they would do that. If they'd be like, okay, we took you off the death penalty, put you down on life without parole, but now that we have these new pieces of evidence, we're going to go ahead and give you that death penalty again.
Oh, absolutely. They could. They could reverse it. They could reverse it, yes. Absolutely.
Whoa.
Even with the Supreme Court saying that, take the life sentence. And basically the only reason why they did that is because it was insufficient evidence. They didn't have enough.
Right.
So now if they lock in the evidence and they know for a fact, yeah, they could reverse
back
it.
Back to the death penalty.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm smiling so hard, but, he guilty.
He guilty.
So I really don't want them to let him out. But if by some weird off chance that he's not and he just looks suspicious, then obviously, he shouldn't be in jail.
It's kind of, yeah, but I mean, just the way this thing lays out and the way the way he did everything. I mean, it's just how he presented himself through the whole thing.
Right.
It screams guilt.
Guilt.
Bad.
Yeah. And he's appealed so many times and he's gone through the processes. He's just kind of out. And we do want to reiterate that this is the Los Angeles Innocence Project, which is different than the National Innocence Project. This is very local to where he is.
A lot smaller.
A lot less funding as well. So it's going to be a little different. But a lot of people, I guess, are contacting the Innocence Project and they're like directing them to the local Los Angeles.
Yeah, in all actuality, Los Angeles Innocence Projects could definitely be spending their time on somebody else for somebody 100%. That's actually 100% innocent.
Time, resources, funds, everything.
Because, yes. I mean, this right here could look bad on them if it turns out that he is what he is.
It could be bad, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate to say that because
But I think they're just jumping on it because it's
high profile.
It's high profile and it's what's hitting the national news right now.
But that's why it's hitting in national news, because they took it.
Yeah.
Maybe that was their plan.
Maybe.
I'll pick somebody and
bring
awareness.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys listening. Please tune in next time when we have another one for you. Probably be in a week.
It's going to be kind of like a two-parter because the two go together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice.
Great little tidbit.
So, yeah, thanks for tuning in. And please make sure you guys like, share, and subscribe.
Tell your friends. Okay, bye.